This is Boris Elise interviewing Catherine Brennan for the Creative Push Project on June 24th, 2015 at 1210. Okay. So why don't we start with maybe taking us back to around the time that you were pregnant, if there's any, you know, extreme weather or like events or anything that you remember, just to kind of situate us in time.
So I got pregnant in July, so it was a little hot, and I don't really remember it being extraordinarily hot for my pregnancy. I was lucky that it was that I gave birth in April, so it wasn't hot yet. I don't remember any big weather events or anything that happened. Mostly, I just remember being uncomfortable.
Why don't we talk about that, the pregnancy part?
Okay.
The conception, was it a planned pregnancy?
It was planned. I really wanted another child, and I finally convinced my husband after five years of waiting that we needed to have another one. So I was lucky that that he agreed to that. So it wasn't a surprise. So I was happy that it ended up happening. And we were trying to do it to plan to have the baby in March because we're all March birthdays. But he ended up being April. So we were a month off. But that it was still, I'm still happy.
Was it a quick conception? I mean, after you started saying.
Yeah, so we tried to have it so that he would have been born in March. That would have been a June conception, but he was July. So it was just a month off. But yeah. Still good.
So, why don't you walk us through the actual pregnancy part?
Okay. So, I was not nauseous at all with my first son. I didn't have morning sickness or anything, which was pretty lucky. With him, I was sick the entire 9 months. It was not fun. I think part of it was I was diagnosed with gestational diabetes. So, before I realized or was tested for that, I was just eating whatever I wanted. And I think when my sugar would spike, it would make me sick. So I had a lot of nausea. And it was weird because one day pineapple would make me feel better and one day pineapple would make me feel really sick. So it was very not fun trying to figure out what I could eat and not eat. And then once I was diagnosed with gestational diabetes, that cut out all the carbs that were kind of making me feel better. So I couldn't eat English muffins or crackers or any of that fun stuff. It was, yeah, pretty strict. And all of the fun sugar testing that goes along with that. So
what does that mean? Can you give us some specifics about what that actually means for people that don't know?
Yeah, so gestational diabetes is a type of diabetes that only happens while you're pregnant. And it's basically a hormone-induced diabetes. That means your body isn't able to process sugars in food the way your body normally would. So instead of using the sugars to create energy, it kind of just gets stored inside your body and kind of creates a toxic environment and makes your blood sugar shoot up too high, which can cause, in really terrible cases, the death of your baby, or it can cause your baby to be really large and have heart problems and that kind of thing. So it's just something that it needed to be controlled. Luckily, I didn't have to take medication. I know that some women do have to take medication to control the levels, the blood sugar levels. So it was, it was not fun because there was a little device that I had to prick my finger with 4 times a day to make sure my blood sugar was staying where it needed to. But I'm glad that I don't have to do that all the time. But it did also help with keeping my weight down. I only gained 20 pounds because I couldn't eat anything. I like was basically paleo diet, like meat and veggies and nuts as snacks and that kind of stuff. So,
how much did he weigh?
He was 7 pounds, 7 ounces. So he was normal, but I think that was part of it because of the diet. Like if I had been like, oh, the diet, whatever, I can eat whatever I want, he probably would have been bigger. But
so you had him and then you were like, had 10 pounds to lose.
Yeah. So.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, so let's see, is there any other details about the pregnancy that you want to mention?
I worked in an office during my pregnancy, which made it a little difficult. I don't know, maybe not. It gave me more structure, so I knew when I was supposed to eat, and then I had a schedule. I would leave work, and I would work out and all these things, and I was lucky that I was able to work out the entire time. I know a lot of moms are not able to do that, so that was helpful emotionally too, I think, to be able to go and like work out some stress or whatever at the gym after work. So
at what point did you decide like you have a plan, you know, for the birth?
Actually, I knew before I even conceived that it would be natural. I had tried to do it with my first son naturally. I did this course called hypnobirthing. And I think because of the hospital I gave birth in with my first son, it was very clinical. I brought in a birth plan. They didn't want to stick to the birth plan the whole time. We were just fighting with them. So I knew I didn't want to give birth there again. And I didn't want to have it with an OB. I wanted to try it with a midwife, but my insurance didn't want to pay for the midwife clinic. It's more like you give birth at the center, the birthing center. They weren't willing to pay for that, but in the hospital I ended up giving birth in, they have a midwife clinic in the hospital. So because the hospital was in plan, that meant that the midwives were in my plan, which was nice. And I didn't have to write a birth plan. I just told them I wanted to go all natural. They knew everything I wanted before I even said what I wanted, which was awesome. And I just liked how hands-off they were. Like, if I didn't need something, then they didn't try to push me to do it. And it was a really great process, and I never felt pressured to do anything I didn't want to do. So
did you meet with them before you went into labor then?
Mm-hmm. So I actually switched from my OB to the midwife clinic at around 5 months pregnant, and then they were basically in exchange for my OB from there on to my birth. And then the midwife that ended up giving or going through my birth with me, I had never actually met her before because there were 8 midwives in the clinic, and I had another midwife, but she was still great. I was still really happy with it. So
this is how my son would. He couldn't be on my body. He always had to be projected like away from me,
yeah,
but still held in emotion. He was really feeling. But I always get to kiss his neck.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's see. When you said you didn't like being pregnant before, was it mm-hmm. because of the throwing up mainly and the nausea?
I think I didn't like being pregnant. I like being fit and in shape, and I like fitting into my clothes, and I just don't. I feel gross, you know? I just feel like it's not even fat. It's just like this extra weight on you, and it's just annoying. And yeah, the being sick all the time and the heartburn and all of that put together, and just that your clothes that you like don't fit, and then you have, like, I feel like maternity clothes are hideous. All, like, there's no... Even the nicest ones are really... I wouldn't choose them over non-maternity clothes. So I think that's the hard part about it for me. Like, I just... I like being a normal size and all that stuff, so...
It's nice to hear that verbally expressed, because I think a lot of women feel that way. And mm-hmm. so it's one of the nice things about this archive, you know? Yeah, and it's not vanity. It's just, like, you liked who you were. Mm-hmm. You liked your body before. And,
exactly.
You know, your stuff.
And yeah.
Yeah, it was that was hard psychologically, just mm-hmm. seeing that change.
Yeah.
Day. But you didn't put on much weight, so that you were lucky about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe you can start talking about, like, when you first knew you were in labor, or, you know, was family in town? How did you plan that out?
Yeah, so with my labor, I'm lucky that my parents live 10 minutes away from me. And so we knew that they would be watching my six-year-old, but we ended up actually, my water broke was the only way I knew I was in labor, because I had been having mild contractions for the past 2 weeks before my labor broke, and I was dilating the entire time really slowly, but my water hadn't broke, so it was one of those don't worry about it. But I did keep dilating, so by the time my water broke, I was already 5-6 centimeters. So I had been just walking around, going to work, all this stuff, being 5 centimeters dilated. Because it was like, what else am I going to do? Sit at home? I'm not in labor. So, and I kept thinking, okay, how am I going to know? And everyone kept saying, oh, you'll know. You'll know when you need to go to the hospital. And I really didn't. Like, I think the only reason I went to the hospital was because my water broke. If my water hadn't broken, I wouldn't have gone to the hospital. I was in an active labor. I was having contractions, but they weren't regular. They weren't strong. So, yeah, when I woke up to my water breaking, but I didn't, it wasn't at the bottom of my water sac. It was at the top. So it wasn't like a gush. It would just like come out a little bit at a time. So I wasn't sure if it was just normal fluid or if it was actually my water. And so I had read on the internet that if you get up, go to the bathroom, and then come back and lie down for 5 minutes, and then get back up and water gushes out, then it's your water and not just normal fluid. So I tried that, and that's what happened. And I was like, okay, I think we need to start getting ready to go to the hospital. And when I had talked to my midwife about it the week before, she said, you don't have to rush. Just kind of meander to the hospital. Make sure you get there after your water breaks. So my water broke around 4 in the morning. We probably got to the hospital around 6 in the morning. And then they checked me in OB triage, made sure my water broke, and then once that was decided by the nurses, they moved me into labor and delivery. And I still wasn't contracting or anything. So I thought, okay, let's go for a walk. By then, my parents had come to pick up my six-year-old, and we went and walked around to the cafeteria, and then came back up to the room, and the midwife came in, and she said, I can tell by the fact that you don't want to kill me that you're not in active labor yet. Like, you're not ready. So let's see what happens. And then in, let's say, 6 hours, if nothing's changed, we need to talk about options. So, yeah, we just kind of sat around. I wasn't contracting really. I mean, I was having contractions, but they weren't regular, and it just didn't feel like anything was happening. And what happened next? Oh, so, yeah, so she came in around 11. And she checked me, and I was still only 6 centimeters, which was really no change from when I had come in. And she said, you know what? Your water, there's still a big piece of water down here, which means your water must have broken at the top of the sack instead of the bottom. Okay.
Sorry. The water was broken.
Yeah, at the top of the sack. So she said, okay, maybe if we burst this little bit of water, that'll help. But she gave me the option. That was the great part about working with her, I think, is that everything was always up to me. It wasn't like, oh, we're definitely going to do this because I think this is what we need to do. It was always like, Do you want to do this? Because this is, we may progress labor if we get rid of this water that's like right above his head, basically. And I said, okay, I don't really see any negative of that because my water is already broken. It's just broken in a different place. So she did break my water, and that helped a little bit, but my contractions still weren't very strong. So the nurse came in, and my nurse was amazing. She was kind of like the doula that I didn't have kind of thing. She was just super sweet and always like very nurturing, and she was really awesome. And she was like, why don't we try the breast pump? Because that'll stimulate oxytocin rather than having to give you Pitocin through a drip. Like, this may work. And I was also using an essential oil called clary sage that's supposed to stimulate contractions too. And I think, because all of these things happened within like an hour, the breaking of the water and the using of the breast pump and everything. And I think all of those together really kick-started my labor, because that was probably around noon, and within an hour, even half an hour, I was having regular strong contractions, which was, I thought, amazing that we could kind of do something like that drug-free. And I hope they continue to do stuff like that, because I think a lot of moms could benefit from it. So that was amazing. So then, and it pretty much, as soon as I started having the regular strong contractions, I went into transition. Like, I went up to 7 centimeters, and I pretty much just progressed until around 4, and he was born at like 4:30. So I don't really remember a lot between 1 and 4. It was very much like an out of body experience. I remember it being painful, but it wasn't ever so painful that I felt like I needed any sort of intervention. It was one of those, like, I kept thinking, this can't last forever, and it's like I'm having a baby, like, it'll be over, and then I'll have a baby, and then I won't have to worry about it anymore. So, but it was, it was pretty amazing. But I'm glad that I was in the hospital, because after he was born, I lost a lot of blood, and they ended up having to give me a Pitocin drip to stop the bleeding. So, I had thought about having him at home, but I'm glad that I had him in a hospital, because kind of a safer environment in case something goes wrong. So,
yeah, that makes sense. So when it came to the actual labor part, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of women who have had their babies in the hospital have a real controlled pushing. They're in the stirrups. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Was yours the same as that, or was it different?
So I was on the bed. I was on a birthing ball until I reached about 8 centimeters. And then I was on the bed, and they would have allowed me to move around to birth differently, but I didn't want to move. I was just like, done. I didn't want to do anything. So I ended up, the nurse was holding one of my feet, and my husband was holding the other, and then they were holding my hands. I don't even know how they were doing that. I must have been like having my feet in their bicep area or something. Or maybe they were holding my hands with their other hands. And so then I ended up pushing just into their arms. And the midwife was just like, it was very classical, like I was lying down pushing and she was just there ready to catch. So, and yeah, I like that because, yeah, with my first son, I did have stirrups and it was very, yeah, I felt clinical and not as, I didn't feel as at home as if I had just been with, like getting help from other people like I did with him, so, with this guy.
Did they talk to you about what would happen immediately afterwards, like if they would keep the umbilical cord?
So they did ask, but then I think when it, because he had the cord wrapped around his neck 3 times, so I think when that kind of thing happens, it kind of just turns into, let's make sure the baby's okay. It's funny because my husband is very afraid of blood. And he didn't cut the umbilical cord with my first son. He didn't want to do it with this one. So I actually ended up cutting the umbilical cord because the midwife was like, well, do you want to do it? I was like, sure, whatever. So yeah, they took him over, the baby over to the heater area and just made sure that he was breathing okay. And then we did, I think we waited 30 seconds or something like that, but yeah, we didn't have, I guess the mom next to, in the room next to us had what they call a lotus, where they leave the placenta attached, like they don't cut it at all until it stops going, so yeah. But yeah, it was pretty standard umbilical cord cutting.
So then did they put him on your chest? Did he nurse?
Yeah, so they did put him on my chest right away. And it's interesting just having another baby with my first son. I don't know whether it was because I had Pitocin and an epidural and all those things. But I didn't really feel like I bonded with my oldest son right away. It was just kind of like, well, that was long and arduous, and now I'm really tired, and I have this baby, and I never really felt, like, connected to him until he got a little bit older, like a few weeks. But with him, it was, like, right away, I felt like I bonded with him, and he, and I just was in a really positive mood and just, like, really happy that I had gone through something difficult, but that there was such a positive reward to it. And, yeah, so he did nurse right away. That was actually a positive. I had been using the breast pump for a few weeks before he was born, so I was already... I had built up a good amount of colostrum, so he nursed probably for 45 minutes after he was born. So, and then, what, they said they, not, I'm trying to think back. Oh, because I had the gestational diabetes, after the baby's born, they have to check their blood sugar levels for the first 24 hours. So they had, he nursed, and then about a half an hour after, they had to check his blood sugar, and then they continued to do that. So
you were there for...
I think I was there for 24, well, maybe 30 hours after birth, and then they released us.
That's not very long. That's
no. Good. And it, honestly, I, with this, with the new baby, I feel like my... what's the word, rebound or bounce back from birth was a lot faster versus, but he, it would, the labor was a lot shorter too. With my first son, my labor was 30 hours. And with him, I mean, active labor was only like 3 or 4 hours. So yeah, I felt a lot better. And like, I could like get up and do stuff. And yeah, I just felt a lot more capable, and I felt like I returned to who I was a lot faster. So,
did you, after you had him, did you feel that kind of endorphin rush at all, or, you know, was the pain just like completely gone?
I did feel the endorphin rush, and then also the afterbirth. I don't know if all moms have this, but my afterbirth was pretty painful, so they ended up giving me medication for it. I don't know if that's because I lost so much blood because of it. So yeah, I ended up on, I think it was Tylenol with codeine or something like that for 12 hours or so. Yeah, because there was just, the afterbirth and all the stuff that comes out, like it was, that was not super fun.
And you, had contractions and pushed that out yourself, or did they manually kind of push them out?
I did. I did have contractions and I pushed it out on my own. But yeah, they had to end up giving me Pitocin anyway because of the blood loss. So,
how was life when you got him home then?
Life was actually pretty easy after I got him home. He's a good sleeper. And maybe it's because it was my second baby. He's very similar to my older son, and I kind of remembered what I had to do and all that stuff. Actually, the most difficult part was the dog. I don't know if she was jealous or if it was just so new, the baby and everything, but I would wake up at like 2 a.m. to her breathing in my face, just wanting attention. And she would do that 2 or 3 times a night. So it wasn't the baby waking me up all night long. It was the dog, and it was driving me crazy. She finally calmed down, but it was the first week or so. I was like, I cannot handle this. It's too hard. But yeah, he was a pretty good baby. I did, the pediatrician did say we had to wake him up every 4 hours to nurse him. So I did have to do that a couple times. He didn't always want to wake up to eat. But yeah, I think the other weird part was that it wasn't even that he had his days and nights mixed up, as I know a lot of babies have that. He just had no schedule. So one day he'd wake up at 6 a.m. and the next day he'd wake up at 9:30, and then the next day he'd sleep all morning, and then, like, it was strange. So I don't know.
Is he on schedule now?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He'll wake up at around 3:30 to eat, and then he'll go back to sleep and then wake up at around 7:30. So, but I'm not sure what I want to do, because my career, my job, I start work at 5, which means I have to leave my house at like 4:30, and I'm not sure if I want to try and put him on a schedule so that he's eating before I leave, or how I want to do that. Well, we'll see how that goes.
Are you pumping?
Yeah. So, but
can you tell us a little bit about the first birth?
Sure. So with my first baby, the pregnancy was a lot more benign or uneventful, but my labor itself was more difficult, and I had just a regular OB. And she ended up stripping my membranes at 39 weeks, which is where they take their fingers and they go and separate the lining of the uterus from the water sac. And it's supposed to stimulate contractions, which it did a little bit. So she stripped my membranes on Friday morning, and then my water broke on Saturday morning. And so we went into the hospital, but I just wasn't progressing. So they ended up putting me on a Pitocin drip. And then that got really painful. So they ended up giving me an epidural, which ended up slowing down my labor. But Thank goodness I was able to sleep, and then I ended up dilating, and I didn't have to get a C-section or anything, because they kept threatening that, because once you get past the 24-hour mark, they really don't like you to labor. They're afraid of infection or whatever. But it ended up being around 30 hours, and I pushed for a really long time. I think I must have pushed for 4 hours. Because my epidural was so strong, I couldn't feel what was going on. And I think the only reason I didn't have a C-section is because the nurse who ended up delivering him, she turned my epidural off. She's like, "You're not going to like me for this, but this is the only way you're not going to have a C-section. Like, we need to turn this off, and you need to start pushing and figuring out, like, what's going on." So, yeah, within her 2 hours of her turning the epidural off, he was born. So,
was it like instant pain?
You know what? It really wasn't, and I think the pushing allowed me to focus. Versus maybe if she had done it while I was just in labor, when I wasn't ready to push, that would have been terrible. But the fact that I was already pushing and that he was already descending down the birth canal, it wasn't as terrible. But I did feel like in that instance, I was in a different hospital. And it was a hospital that tends to, like, all the high risk and multiple births go to this hospital. So I think that they see more of those, and then they view all births as a possible issue. Like, everything's high risk. So, and I think, like, I would say things like, "Oh, my hips hurt." And instead of the nurse being like, "Oh, well, maybe we can do something about that," she'd be like, "No, I think you're just feeling it wrong. Like, no, your hips don't hurt. This is what you should be feeling. So this is what you're feeling." I'm like, "No, they're not. That's weird." I don't, so there was just a big disconnect between me and the nurses and the doctor and everything. So, yeah, that was a much harder rebound. And I don't know if it was because it was my first baby. And so I didn't know what to expect. And my body didn't really know what it was doing and all that stuff. But it took a lot longer to feel like myself again and to not be totally exhausted all the time. And whereas with this baby, I had the adrenaline rush for a couple days where I didn't feel tired at all. And then he started sleeping well. So then by the time I ended up getting really tired, I was able to sleep and that kind of stuff. So,
were the Pitocin contractions very different than the natural ones? Because I had the Pitocin ones.
They were. It was really different. So with the Pitocin contractions, it was like that sharp pain. And I think part of it is the fact that it's not your body doing it. It's like this foreign substance that's creating these fake hormones in you that's causing the contractions. Versus the natural ones were almost like an ebb and flow rhythm, like because the body's working to create the contractions, it's almost like I knew that they were coming before it was going to happen, and then that allowed me to focus on working with the contraction to help progress the labor. So it was still really painful, but it was definitely not as painful as the Pitocin ones, and it was more of a feeling of like I knew that what was happening was actually not even supposed to be happening, but that I knew that it was helping, like, with the baby and progressing the labor and everything. So it was easier to take them versus the Pitocin ones were just so bam, bam, bam that I just felt like there was no choice but to have an epidural because it was so painful. That was just ridiculous. So
yeah, I had an epidural at like 4 centimeters with the Pitocin ones. I was just like, no.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how the hypnobirthing came into play during the process?
So we tried to use hypnobirthing And we did like the, I sat on a birthing ball, and mostly it was, we tried to use it at the beginning of the labor to try and make me dilate, because I was not dilating with my first son at all. And yeah, and then we tried to do some visual exercises and that kind of stuff, but nothing really worked. Like, nothing was helping me dilate. And I don't know if part of it was that my husband and I had only been married about 2 years. And I don't know if it's like we still didn't really feel entirely comfortable with each other. And so trying to use something like hypnobirthing with someone that you don't always communicate with well, it just didn't work. So yeah, for me personally, hypnobirthing was not helpful with that birth. So maybe with the new birth it would have been different, because we're in a different place, and then I was also in a different place as a person, and it was my second baby, so my body kind of knew more what to do. It could have helped, but
yeah. I tried the hypnobirthing thing too.
Yeah.
Well, and with the Pitocin stuff, it was just no amount of...
Exactly. It's not gonna... Yeah, it didn't work. But...
Well, I think this was great.
Thanks.
See if I... is there any way you can think of, like, a word or a grouping of words that could, like, summarize or describe your experience? Because we're separating these into themes.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Let's
think. You can take your time.
Yeah.
This totally brings me back. It's so funny. My arms are so buff.
I know, right? You get the mom arms.
Super, total mom arms, right?
I guess... if it were to be like a small grouping of words, it would be just things in their own time. Because I felt like with my first son, I kind of rushed in. I just wanted the baby to be born, which, I mean, I wanted him to be born too, but it was very much like I was willing to do things that, like, to induce and things like that, that probably didn't help me in the long run. Versus with him, just letting things in their own natural time happen, I think gave me a better labor and a more calm experience and a better experience. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're good. Mm-hmm.